Like I said, this is a little different. I don't know if y'all know that you have a dean, but you have a dean, and I'm the dean. And it's kind of an intermediary role between the archbishop and the parishes, and so I'm dean with, in this river parish area with 14 parishes, and especially our area after High Ida, and other things too, there's been a lot of talk of consolidating and closing or opening, or, you know, do you keep the schools, you have four schools in one area, to turn them into two, which parishes are closing, which ones are not closing, and there's a lot of rumors, a lot of understandings and misunderstandings, and I just, like I said, I think we need to come together and pray, first of all. We do weep over the, so many losses over the past years, from Ida, tornadoes in the area, COVID shutdown, clergy scandal, and maybe there have been pastoral decisions that we've liked, others we don't understand, and maybe others we simply resent. But either way, we pray for a healing to so many damages, especially spiritual damages that we face. We pray for a greater spirit of communion between neighboring parishes and even with our archbishop, and a deeper sense of our shared mission as that Church of Christ here in New Orleans, here in Luling, in the surrounding areas. We pray for all these things. The bishop encouraged me to go to the different parishes, and he's been very clear. People are like, well, what's the decision, Father? What are we going to do? What's the answer? Who's closing? Who's staying open? And the archbishop says, no decision has been made other than this. Given our circumstances, both as an archdiocese and as local churches, things can't remain as they have been. So I had a few thoughts that I've been thinking about for the last several months, dealing with some of this, and I know I'm speaking to different people, different backgrounds. Each of you have your own experience of this, your own opinions of this. Some of you don't know what parish sustainability is, and that's fine. But whatever the soil that the seed is going to fall into, I simply ask for an open and prayerful ear and for the Holy Spirit to lead us all as one family of faith. So let's talk for a moment about storms. Maybe we were previously unaware, but I feel like Ida was only one of many tremendous storms that our Catholic faith and our church community has been facing, and for a very long time. Ida simply ripped off the band-aid, in my opinion, so to speak, especially with insurance and FEMA not coming through as quickly as we'd expected for some of our sister churches. We've been forced to have some very tough, very sobering conversations, and realize we were no longer riding the comfortable wave we had been riding. I think maybe we've been ignoring things for a long time, and some of these conversations were likely decades overdue. Ida, obviously, we see some of our neighbors still putting roofs on their homes and roofs on their churches, or still not doing so, and there's still tarps there. But Ida had followed another storm, a global pandemic, and an almost total economic shutdown. Churches had been closed. Many of them, without any collection taking place, had had to draw from their savings to keep their lights on and things going on after the storm, after the shutdown had passed. Another storm was a scandal in the church. So many have lost faith in the church, in bishops, in priests, in the Pope. How could trusted shepherds do such things? And how could they have been kept concealed? And from that storm, our own archdiocese has been locked up in lawsuits, in a prolonged bankruptcy of reorganization. In many ways, the archdiocese's hands have been tied and not allowed to help solve issues that may have been easier to solve in the past. And these storms of themselves might have seemed already a perfect storm to wreak havoc in any church. Yet beyond these, think about it, there was the ongoing storm of demographic changes. For me, I think this is the factor having the most influence in our painful sustainability discussions. Y'all know that an article came out in May of this year. In a nationwide survey of population change, St. John's Civil Parish, right down the road, was number two in population decrease nationwide. St. Charles Parish, we were number eight. And Plaquemines, and I think one other right in the top 10. A lot of change, a lot of demographic movement. Many communities, faith communities, are facing a diminishing population with little hope that the community will ever be as numerous as it once was. And that storm has been going on for a long, long time. Add to that, the economic storms, right? costs are increasing for everyone, even while, like we said, demographically, those who offer the donations and collections, they're not as many as before. Think of your own drastic insurance premiums or utilities bills, and then apply that to your parishes, each having multiple buildings. What about salaries or teacher salaries? Those probably need to increase to afford the basic cost of living today. And again, there are fewer committed parishioners sustaining such a drastic increase in cost. And it's not going to get cheaper. And we have to ask, are there donors going to increase? And who's supposed to solve that? How does that get solved? Years ago, we heard about a storm of the vocational crisis. Are there enough priests? Where are all the priests? Where'd the nuns go? Thankfully, in New Orleans, we've been blessed not to have felt it too much as far as priests go. You do see a lot of priests everywhere. We have beautiful tribute to our seminary with three of our seminarians. We're all through Holy Family, and Ryan just entered today. It's beautiful. We're so used to priests, such that if one pastor retires, or just as you read in the news, one passes away unexpectedly just the other day, we just presume that we are entitled to another pastor. But we ignore that we don't have any priests sitting idle on the sidelines today. Several parishes are, for decades, they had two priests, and now they've only had one for the last several years. For one parish to get a new pastor, think about this. We're getting to the point where another parish may have to lose theirs, or that pastors already exhausted with one parish will be tasked over two or three parishes. And that's the quantity of vocations. What about the quality? Right? We all want the pastor who has English as his first language and has all the charm and person. Like, I like to think I'm perfect, but y'all know I'm not. And there's no guarantee that you get the pastor that you want, the perfect one. Fast forward. What if Holy Family, in 10 years from now, or 2 years from now, or 6 months from now, we're to get a pastor who doesn't speak English very well? What happens to Holy Family then? Y'all gonna stay? Y'all gonna own it? But it's real. This struggle is real. A lot of people say, well, I didn't like Father, I didn't like the way he rubbed me the wrong way, so I left. Who suffers when you leave? The community suffers, because you're missing. But the vocational crisis is real. On top of that, the worsening spiritual storm of secularism or social, and a lot of ideologies of social divisions. In other words, a conglomeration of ideas which, although different and even divisive among themselves, have one common fruit, it seems. The cultural pull upon our friends and our families to distance themselves from their Catholic faith and from greater participation in the church mission. Secular culture normalizes and even promotes sin or sinful behaviors while ridiculing faith or church authority. I kind of picture secularism as like that when Jesus describes the soil with the thorns in it, the thorns that grew up and choked the seeds. There's so many secular concerns, worldly affairs and anxieties, the spiritual can't grow, and so it dies. Sadly, statistics show that less than half of even Catholics believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Eucharist. How did so many lose that faith? How long has this storm been raging? Such a push towards a religious indifference and an undermining of any zeal for truth. I'm spiritual, not religious. I don't belong to a church. All that mentality, it's been very much present for many years now. So many storms, and no recovery from any one of those storms. And as you don't recover from Ida, y'all know the damage just gets worse, right? If you don't repair the roof quickly, the cost is enormous. So I think we've gone through so many storms and we've been dazed and just pushing forward, perhaps hardly able to respond to the new situations, the new needs. We did not downsize, nor spend more strategically. We had no plan. And our own parishioners were not aware of the seriousness of our situation. We told ourselves that since our church doors were still open, we must be doing just fine. And then Ida hit, and insurance has had to be portioned out. And we hear of talk of parish sustainability and parishes closing. Why are we surprised? And in the midst of all this situation, this diminishing population and everything else changing, so much havoc amidst so many storms, can we afford so many parishes and so many buildings? Is it wise to try to maintain everything the way it was simply because it's always been that way? Do you exhaust your limited insurance funding to rebuild every building and parish the way it was without stopping to ask each parish at least to reflect first? Is that the right way to go? Should we reconsider? Should we consolidate? Which is what the Archbishop has done. He's invited all parishes to really reflect on where you are and where you're going, and do you have the means to sustain that? But a worse storm, and with this I want to shift a little bit, I call this parochialism. It's the sense in my mind that church for me is my own parish, church, and buildings. It's the tendency as parishes to work like 111 private businesses in the Archdiocese of New Orleans under the umbrella of the corporate HQ of the Archdiocese. Amidst storm after painful storm and with damage only increasing over time, we've rarely seen pastors collaborating with neighboring pastors who are also drowning from the same storms. There was no conversation about voluntarily consolidating our resources into one stronger community. Not for decades. Each business was focused on its own right to exist, its right to remain a parish, focused on having just enough money to pay off the debts to keep our doors open a little longer, forgetting that they were still children of the one church, which can never close, even if certain buildings may close. Each individual boat, it seems, is so busy plugging its own holes, reluctant to join forces with neighboring boats in the same fleet. And yet, if we keep that up, we're all going to sink. Parochialism has kept us paralyzed instead of working as one family against the same enemies and the same enemy. So I kind of want to apologize. Not for the long homily, not yet. I want to apologize both as pastor and as dean if over the last years I myself or others have worked so hard to build up a parish with people, activities, and buildings of our own that we inadvertently also built up walls dividing the one holy Catholic Church. There's only one church. Holy Family, St. Hubert, St. Mark, St. Gertrude, St. John the Baptist, Sacred Heart in Norco. They're all one church. Parish, that term parish, it's simply an arbitrary and really administrative subdivision of that one church. And it presumes that there are far too many people and activities for the one shepherd archbishop to nourish and manage all by himself. So he appoints a pastor over an arbitrary, mostly geographic area and community. The community contributes toward whatever resources they need to extend Christ's kingdom in that locality. And like the early church, they also contribute to the larger church community, you could say the archdiocese, their brothers and sisters. But it's always one church, one family, one faith, one shared mission. The one church assembly which God is gathering into one holy communion. That word communion is really important. When you receive communion, it's really important. What do you mean by that? But in so many storms, with all of our shared losses, should we sustain so many divisions? I think we need to begin moving towards working more together, building a stronger community, communion, thinking strategically, thinking especially long-term, aware of the gravity of our storms and losses. I don't think it's going to be enough for parishes simply to survive, raise just enough money to stay a little bit in the black. It's not about surviving if they're not thriving. This is not really a conversation about the viability of a parish. Is it viable? Can it pay its bills or whatever? But it's growing vitality. Any dead fish can float downstream, but it's the living fish that swims upstream and even countercurrent. Are we alive? Are we thriving? Or are we just floating and lucky to keep our doors open a little bit longer? And who's responsible for that? Is that the Archbishop's job all by himself? Is that your pastor's job? Is it maybe our job altogether? We'll come back to that. I can understand when we hear of the diocese paying for Catholic Leadership Institute, CLI, or other outside groups to help facilitate a tough conversation between a parish or among schools about their future or their consolidation. That's a painful process. I've heard a lot of frustration for those who are going through it more immediately. But for me, it's mainly because none of us on our own showed the maturity to volunteer our own facilities to be those consolidated. We wanted our doors open at all costs. Don't close our parish center, close the one down the street. They should be the ones to close, not us. I remember shortly after Ida hit, I heard that a leader in one damaged parish declined another parish's offer to house their PSR program since their own main building was damaged. They said, "We don't want our kids helped by their PSR. They might not come back to us." How do we create that kind of division where parishes can't receive help from other parishes? Guys, I think, again, St. Peter, St. Mark, the saints themselves, St. Gertrude, St. John the Baptist, St. Joan of Arc, they would be the ones saying to us, it was never about St. Gertrude, St. Mark, Holy Family. It was not about all those individual churches, but the one church of Jesus Christ. Build that kingdom. Sometimes I hear, oh, well, such and such a parish, they're doing this new thing. We should do the same thing. Let's start it in our parish. Why don't you go benefit from the one taking place down the road? Why reinvent the wheel? Why do you not see that that initiative down the street is your initiative too? If the next hurricane hits your church, now y'all know that's not going to happen for another 20 years, right? 30 years, no more hurricanes. But if it were to hit your church, you should know that the buildings of the functioning parish down the road are your buildings, and that pastor is your shepherd under the same archbishop, and vice versa. If the hurricane hits the parish down the road, do they know that you are their parishioners, their brothers and sisters, that this is their parish, their pastor, that these are their buildings? Do they know that? Do they feel that now? Or if they don't, why don't they? Why is there a wall, invisible though it may be? And if a hurricane does knock down our beautiful, brand new life center, no, it's not going to happen. But if it does, or other buildings on the campus, and you got so many buildings in this area, do you rebuild everything the way it was? Or do you think about that for a moment? Listen, cost of insurance, y'all know that, cost of insurance is terrible, it's rising on every single building. Think about the number of parishes in a 10-minute radius, that's about, what is that, 10, 15 buildings? Hundreds of thousands just on the permanence of a building. And none of those buildings is fully occupied right now. Hasn't been for a long time. Shouldn't that money be spent better on the needs of people rather than the permanence of buildings? Anybody heard about the idea of, I don't know, scholarships for a Catholic education or Catholic formation or something else? But no, it's on buildings because we need buildings and more buildings. Why? Is that what we're here for? Sometimes I hear envious comments about certain parishes that are not supposedly on the list to be closed, whatever list that is. I say this, no one should be sitting content or comfortable right now. No parish and no pastor. Any one storm, insurance skyrocketing, a hurricane, a tornado, a change in leadership, change in pastor, a lawsuit, any one storm could lead to the closing of our doors almost overnight. Unless we're willing to work differently, more as one holy communion. So again, I do ask forgiveness if church leadership or even other church communities have put any obstacles in the way of this needed, truly Catholic communion. Remember that word Catholic, universal, towards one. I think we need to ponder these things and just a few resolutions, a few things to take home. I'm finishing. We need, I think, to overcome this paralysis of parochialism. We need to come together. We need to work smarter, more strategically, more long-term, far-sighted, getting out of ourselves, our little petty, this is my church, my building, my whatever, holding on tightly to the things that last, and not to buildings, as if the church were only about her buildings. The church is about souls, not buildings. St. Paul criticized the damnable divisions in the early church as if, I am for Cephas, I am for Apollo, I am for Paul. He challenged them. He said, is Christ divided? It's true, we know that the church is not immune to cultural divisions and social divisions. You always have that struggle between the Italian Catholics and the Irish Catholics, right? That's why in some cities you have dozens of churches across the street from each other because the Irish wouldn't talk to the Italians. But we need to be more, or rather not, of Luling, or of Parity, or of Dizalman, or of Norco, or of my race, or your race. I should be more Catholic than I am Caucasian. My faith must run deeper than my social boundaries. Can we receive that? Because Catholic means universal, which implies we are building bridges across things that divide us. Are we doing that? Are we trying to do that? A little plug for things like retreats, there, the ACTS program, things like that, that intentionally build community. The recent synod a few years ago, the Archdiocese was given so many ideas, including ideas for parishes to work on together. Is that happening 5 years later? That's one takeaway. Another takeaway, an invitation for each of us to take ownership of the mission Jesus entrusted to the whole church. As the Father has sent me, he said at the Last Supper, so I now send you, Eve. It's all Eve's responsibility. As the Father sent me, so I now send each one of you. Own it. Again, whose responsibility? Is it the pastors, the nuns, the archbishop? We are all, we are the church. Own this mission. Take a moment, look around you just for a second. I know you're falling asleep. Wake up. Look around you at the empty pews. Look at the empty pews. You see them? A lot of empty pews. Just look at them for a moment. Whose responsibility is it to reach out and invite more people to fill these pews? When this church was built, it wasn't half empty. That was only 20 years ago. They didn't build a church for it to be half empty. I own this responsibility. Just an invitation. Feel the weight. Maybe just a little healthy anxiety. I need to do my part to fill these empty spaces. I'm going to lose a little bit of sleep at night. Each one of us could lose just a little bit. Thinking about what I could do better. What more I could do. Take ownership of communication, for example. When your friend didn't hear about the church picnic, whose fault is that? Oh, the pastor should have sent it. Is it the pastor's job? All by himself? When we post things on Facebook, they get like 3 likes and 2 shares. Come on, people. At least share it. Whose job is it? Take responsibility for your formation as a Christian. Someone was sharing with me recently, I get this a lot. People heard that the church taught that this controversial topic meant that if you're not doing this, you're going to hell. Well, first of all, that's the wrong teaching. Second of all, how come y'all don't know how to teach? How come we don't know how to teach these issues of our faith? And whose job is it to make sure that we do? We have questions about the church's teaching. I have issues with the church's teaching. Well, whose job is it that you get over those questions and issues so that you can teach someone else better than maybe you were taught? Whose job is that? Oh, it's the DRE's job, that one person. No, it's our job. That nobody here gets a mediocre passing on of the faith. Hashtag, that's why we're doing the family nights once a month, the fire nights. Because it's everybody's job. Wait, my family's all old and they've moved on. You're right here, aren't you? It's your job. Or my kids are too young, I'm not ready for that yet. Well, when are you going to be ready? No one's ever ready. Jump in the boat. By the way, I love the gospel image of Peter having to get out of the comfortable boat. We like our status quo. It's comfortable. PSR was always done that way. Why are we changing PSR? It was always done this way. It's time for change. Get out of the boat. Get on the water. Our Lord's calling us to greater things, deeper things. Look, if the church continues to dwindle and you or your neighbor have not invited a new person to a parish activity, the picnic or the family night or something. Something here or something down the street at the neighboring parish. And one day you get the letter that your parish church doors, Holy Family, is going to close. Whose fault is that? You point fingers at the archbishop? How dare he close us? Whose fault is it? Might be our fault. Might be my fault if I didn't preach well, if I didn't reach out to the people well. Might be our fault for not doing our part, not realizing we had a part to play. Well, I don't know, like some parishes are like, well, the parish is leaking. You know, if you had a few friends over to your house, I mean, I think this happened before, like, Father, we're having six couples over to our house. Can you come hear confessions? I really want to encourage a spirit of initiative, a lot of initiative. Look, I don't do anything all day. Call me. Call me with your initiative. Father, my seventh grade friends and I, we think that what PSR does is kind of boring, so we want to do like a little video study or movie film forum. Would you come and walk through it with us? We're going to watch Moana because you keep quoting it. Whatever. But take that initiative. Own that initiative. Be creative in that initiative. Well, we don't own a parish center, so we can't have any faith formation. Guys, the apostles didn't have a parish center. And they brought the faith to the entire world. Why are we sitting back waiting for the church to change and do things the way it should do things when I'm the church, you and I? I think we need to maybe stop being so sensitive or complaining about the physical church buildings that are not being repaired. We can't easily fix that. That's kind of left up to insurance and FEMA, whatever else. But the spiritual building of the church, that's entirely in your hands and my hands. In other words, the bringing of the faith to more people, the igniting their own love for Christ, their own experience of his love for them, that's our job. Y'all know the story of St. Francis, right? St. Francis of Assisi had this revelation from God, rebuild my church, St. Francis. So Francis went, saw St. Damian Church down the road, it was missing some bricks, so he started fixing the church. And God was like, no, not that church. And he founded the Franciscans. And what, 900 years later, they're still bringing God's love to the world. If we focus on that spiritual body of Christ, bringing Christ among our peers, you won't need to close buildings. It won't be an issue. You'll need more churches and parishes. Look, if you have form.org and you haven't opened it yet with yourself or your friends, better late than never, but start. There's a lot of stuff there. Build a church in my heart, my awareness of my faith, and bring it to my friends. Think of it this way. Does the local civic community, do they know what you have here in your church? If Holy Family were to close, would Luli miss it? The fact that you have God in the flesh, right over there in the corner, 24/7? That you have Mass right here several times a week? That you have formation being offered, both in charity, care for your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, social concerns, and even a exploring of the faith. Right here. If this church were to close, who would care in the civic community? Are we making that contribution to the civic community? So I'll leave it at that. We just pray. Especially as we get closer and closer to the moment of Holy Communion. You're going to receive Holy Communion. It's a time to bring these needs, these serious concerns. Like, I know we're kind of comfortable. Look, we're doing okay. Look, we got the lights on. We got new lights. We got a church open. We got two buildings, a beautiful new life center. We're doing just fine. No, we're really not. And I need you all to know that. Again, empty pews. Way too many empty pews. And not to mention the miscommunications and the lack of understanding and so many things, like, because it's all a few people's responsibility instead of everybody's. We come to Holy Communion and we pray with the one who already knows what he himself is going to do. We just want to get on that frequency. It is the living sign and sacrament of Holy Communion, which is truly Christ, the source of our Christian life and our communal mission. Please pray for these things. Pray for a greater personal share in the weight of His mission. Lord, may your mission not be hindered by my indifference, my negativity, my sense that someone else will take care of it. Pray for greater personal ownership and initiative. Look, if buildings must close, may the church not slow down for that reason. Let's also pray for a greater communion with those whom He's called to share this mission with me, with you. We pray for a greater communion for all of us with priests, with our archbishop, a greater communion among parishioners and parishes, a greater communion between Catholics and Protestants, a greater communion between the different cliques and groups of people in the different areas. A lot of divisions. We pray for a healing to so many divisions. May we be less focused on the things that divide us, less identified with unique parish boundaries or buildings, and more focused on our shared Catholic identity and mission. Talk about it. Talk it up. We are all of Jesus Christ, who prayed, Father, that they may be one, that the world may believe. Let us not hold too fast, too tightly, to parish boundaries or parish buildings, but to one Lord, one church, one community, one family of faith, gathered around one holy altar, which is a share in the heavenly altar, into one growing, thriving community and holy communion. I know that falls on different soils and different hearts and different experiences of what church means and what it's about, but I do pray that it would find good soil and produce a lot of good fruit in our own personal reflections, our communal effort together, and just a deeper sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit is doing so that we get on board with it and not be obstacles to it. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Amen.